Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Mic'd Up. It's been a little while, but we're glad to have Mike back in studio. Today, we're going to talk about Insurica's transformational growth strategy. Mike's talked about it just a little bit, but we haven't had a chance to sit down in a podcast setting. It'll be important for us to kind of visit about what it is, but perhaps most important is the why behind TGS, Transformational Growth Strategy. All you have to do is just kind of look at our recent history. Gosh, even a decade or more, we're on an impressive winning streak. Year after year, we're seeing our company grow thanks to all the efforts of everybody pitching in. Remember, generations of colleagues before us have set the stage for the success we're having today. So I guess the real question is, what are we doing today to set the stage for success for 10, 20, even 50 years down the road? Welcome back to Mic'd Up, Mike.
Great to be here, Andy. Thank you. Very excited to talk about TGS.
Well, I've had the pleasure of being in the room, in a few of the rooms when it's being talked about, and it is very, very exciting. Let's just sort of, for the benefit of our audience, let's just go, maybe not back to the very beginning, but, you know, this is a concept that started to bubble up probably last summer. Do I understand that correctly?
Correct.
Take us back to those moments and just set the stage for how this idea of a transformational growth strategy began to bubble up.
Well, I wish I could draw a picture of this eventful meeting that was had and that the lights came on. It came together over time. Mm-hmm. But as best I can remember, we were reveling somewhat in our success, the management team and success of Insurica.
Sure. We had a great year in 21, sure.
21, and we were coming to the kind of the end of the summer mm-hmm. and preparing for a board meeting. And really excited to report to the board and you know, other members of Insurica about how 22 was going and how we projected that we would finish. And you know, celebrating and enjoying the success that we were having.
I like to pat myself on the back along the way. You bet.
Probably broke our arms a little bit, reaching behind our backs. But and in that process, questions that organically came up. You know, I often think about this and realize that these are questions we should ask of ourselves, because we all have a growth mindset. And so we ask the question, well, yes, things are going great, but have we arrived? Mm. And the answer was, no, we've not arrived. Don't know that we'll ever really arrive. And so the question that evolved out of that was, what do we need to be doing today, kind of underline today, not tomorrow, what do we need to do today to not just be viable, but to continue to be a leader in innovation, a leader in growth, a leader in thought, but to continue to be a leading privately owned broker 10, 20, even 50 years from now.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that kind of shook us up a little bit because in the midst of a lot of momentum and some great things that have been going on the past, you know, 10, 20 years, it's a little bit of a wake-up call when you think, well, how do we keep this up? Yeah. Where do we go from here?
I maybe I'll just say it as a compliment. I just appreciate leadership realizing that even in the midst of a winning streak, you know, can we do better? I think somebody recently told a story about Bill Belichick, you know, the famous New England Patriots football coach. He had just won the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they had just come off, you know, anybody in their right mind would think, you just won a Super Bowl. Aren't you going to go to Disney World or something, you know, celebrate a little bit? And in classic Bill Belichick style, Sure, he said, I'm happy we won the Super Bowl, but I'm disappointed that we didn't play our best. So he always knew that there was more potential to be tapped, even though he had just reached, you know, the pinnacle of at least that season's, you know, competition. He won the Super Bowl. And so that probably is a great way to look at just, you know, the way we have always tried. It's important to celebrate the victories along the way, but if we're able to win but yet not be at our fullest potential, that just demands that we strive for more excellence, you know, and keep this winning streak alive, so to speak, well into the future.
Yeah, couldn't say that any better. And I think the example of Bill Belichick is an excellent example. You know, I would not want anyone to hear in these comments that we are in any way dissatisfied, discouraged, concerned. To the contrary, could not be more excited about where we are, where we've come from. But I don't know. It's been a blast, and I want it to continue to be fun. I mean, growing right. and winning and expanding the community has just been tremendous, and there's more to come.
That's a great way to frame it, because this is such a great thing that I think all of us, all 700 and something of us, have going. That it's too good not to share. Let's bring in more people and let's see how far we can take it. So I think one of the things that we've talked a little bit about, both publicly and privately, is just, does this mean that we're setting our mantra of 225 by 25 aside, and now we're tell us how all that works together, because 225 by 25 is a great goal, but it's more short term than long term.
Correct. Yeah, we are not setting it aside. We are confidently assuming and believing that we will hit that, and we are on track.
Yeah, on track.
In every measurable way. But the question that we asked of ourselves and continue to ask as we fine-tune TGS, what do we need to do today to continue this? It's more about numbers. We measure ourselves by numbers. And we will throw a big party and give away a bunch of T-shirts when we hit 225. We'll have a lot of fun with that. But we want to look beyond that.
Yeah.
And this is I think you mentioned this in a discussion we had earlier, but this is generational. You know, what can we do today to assure that the generations that come after us can enjoy the same journey?
Yeah.
And benefit from us hopefully paying it forward.
It's a great thing about working for a company with a long and rich history. You can't help but, you know, remember the fact that we stand on the shoulders of a lot of hardworking people that went before us. And I wouldn't say I'm at the end of my career yet, but I can see it from my front porch. You know, it's out there a little bit, and I'm personally inspired. I wonder how many other insuricans I can inspire to join me in this. I want to do whatever I can do between now and that day that I have to retire to make this as strong that it will live long after me and into the future. So that's that generational idea. You know, speaking of which, you know, you and I know our great family ownership, the Cameron family. You've known him longer than I, but I've known him for a couple of decades now. Now his kids, Claire and Caroline and Lizzie, are coming up, learning the business and everything. Maybe touch on that idea of generational, just, you know, with maybe in the context of Bill Cameron and the way he sees the future of Insurica.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking this, because it is a very important part of the story. It really is. As we started answering this question, what do we need to do today to continue to be a leader and a leading private broker well into the future? This question was posed before our board and before the Cameron family. And through the last 6 months, we've gone through a lot of discussions and a lot of planning and modeling and looking at different scenarios. And I shared this at the sales exchange, but it'll be something I remember for a long time. And it happened more than once, but I recall in a meeting that Bill Cameron was taking in our presentation and very engaged and asked if we could, I think his words were, would you guys model this out for 10 years? And hesitate for a second. He said, on second thought, would you model it out for 50 years? And the reason I bring
that, he's thinking that, about his grandkids right in that moment.
And through the in the midst of those conversations, there were other comments that clearly point to the patient capital, the long-term view, the commitment to remaining private by the Cameron family. I have never seen anything that would make me think otherwise. And that, to me, is one of the most unique aspects of TGS, is that we're not talking about just transforming for 2025. We're talking about something that will live on for quite a long time.
It's almost a mindset, too, just the way we're going to take this into the future. And I don't even know. It would be a podcast series, let alone, you know, a comment or two on a podcast episode. But the fact that we're privately held is, I think, an extraordinary advantage in our marketplace. But it also, I think, is essential. It's an essential element of an advantage of how we want to grow into the future. You know, it's, you know, we're seeking partnerships with people that believe in the same way that we believe. And it feels really good to come to work every day knowing that our owner has our back.
Yeah.
And he wants to partner with us for 50 years into the future, until his grandkids, I guess, will say, what's next? So in the time that we have left, let's talk a little bit about maybe what, like the big pieces. We obviously don't want to get into the gritty details, but the big pieces of transformational growth begins with what I've heard you say, winning the talent war. And that's not just in the insurance business. It's everywhere right now. So what are some of the important elements we need to know about how we're going to win the talent war now and into the future for 50 years?
So that was the answer to the big question. What do we need to do today to be a leading private broker 10, 20, 50 years into the future? A lot of ideas were brought forth and a lot of discussion. At the end of the day, the answer was and still is, we must win the talent war. Now, in saying that, it's important to recognize that we are an extremely talented organization right now.
We're blessed to have professionals that are top of the industry.
Wouldn't trade it for any other firm.
The first battle in winning the talent war is keeping the people that have engaged and on board with bright futures.
So I don't want anyone to misunderstand what we mean when we say win the talent war. We're looking well into the future. And what today is 725 talented colleagues will one day be 1,500, 2,000.
Sure.
And we all know how challenging it is in our industry to attract and bring in talent. And so our answer to the question, what do? Is we have to win the talent war. And the way we will win that talent war is through recruiting, attracting, training and developing new people that will come to us through us seeking them out.
Mm-hmm. Hiring
will come to us through recruiting them finding them, bringing them in. Mm-hmm. We've got many, many stories of people coming to us because they like what they see. Yeah. They want to be part of this community.
Right. There's a certain buzz. Mr. Hester calls it halo. You know, we have a little bit of an innovation right. halo. People yes. want to understand more about what we're doing, and they're attracted by that. But, you know, speaking of, like, recruiting and attracting, I think if we want to drill down on one message for all of the current Insuricans that are listening to this podcast, you know, nobody better than the talent we have today knows what it takes to be a successful Insurican. And I would encourage all of our fellow Insuricans to think about who in their lives would be really great and be a voice to help them come to Insurica and become part of our craft, our trade, and the future that we're building together.
Yeah, you know, to add to that, Andy, a big part of winning the talent war is developing what we already have and retaining what we have.
Right.
Those are two key elements of that battle. And so proud of what has developed and continues to grow with Insurica University.
Oh, outstanding.
And the training and development opportunities that come through there. We also have developed a much stronger, and it will continue to grow stronger, partnership with Insight Performance mm-hmm. Group that will help with sales training and development, leadership training and development. There are a myriad of development opportunities right now and more to come for our existing community. And so a very strong part of this is the opportunity for our current people to grow in their positions, to grow in their career development. And I think you said this earlier. Yeah. Insurica is the land of opportunity.
It really is.
Yeah, and I believe that.
I think with my team, and of course there's 720-something of us now, Insuricans, it's hard to think that, you know, we're not a small organization anymore, but yet we're still on the ground floor of something that's only going to get
right.
Bigger and better. And I would encourage, just like I do my own teammates, to think about doing their jobs in such a way they're going to have to show other people how to do their job someday,
yep.
you know, because they're going to be in a leadership position, whether that's peer-to-peer or something more official. Learn your job like you need to teach it to the next generation that are coming behind you, because that's the characteristics of a growth organization. It's kind of obvious, but I mean, I fully believe that whether you're an organism the size of a pinhead or a giant elephant, if you're either growing or you're dying. And so there's not really anything in between. So we choose growth, right?
Well
we,
said.
We choose that. Yeah, just to put a ribbon on development, you know, since I joined 16 and a half years ago, we've always talked about being students of the game. That's always been a part of who we are. It's a part of Insurica DNA. And with Insight Performance Group and with Insurica University, that really puts more structure and a little bit more formality, but more opportunity that's, you know, people can grab onto. So I would encourage people to do that. Let's touch before we head out of here just on this idea, because I'm very intrigued by it. It also speaks to kind of the why and the what at the same time. But Dr. Nathan Meller, a gentleman that's here in the Oklahoma City area that is really smart about organizational leadership and management things, He's taught us a little bit about something called the growth paradox. And that's so funny because growth creates complexity, but yet it's that complexity that tends to kill growth. And that's the paradox we're talking about. So great organizations know that, they know about that, and they create strategies to push through that paradox time, that chaotic time, to reinvent themselves and be able to hit the next level. So how does that, you know, register with you? I see a lot of the things we're doing. Part of TGS is just kind of a simplification of things. Let's make things more streamlined, remove some of the noise so that we can get to the next level.
Yeah. We have been living this growth paradox and continue to. And I would say that any company that over the last 20 years, we've had a compound growth rate of about 17%.
That's extraordinary.
Year after year after year, when you average it all up. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking about back in the late 1990s, before even right. some of our colleagues were even
right,
born.
Right, right.
And we were, it was at the time that we kicked off our first mantra, which was 10 by 2.
10 by 2.
And things were so much simpler then. So much simpler.
Yeah. Everybody but, fit in a boardroom almost.
Yeah, we did. Right. I mean, I can still remember it. But it gets back to we are one company. We have one mission. We serve our clients. We partner with our carrier partners. And we're after the same thing, and that's yeah. taking care of our community. And whatever we can do to make that process, insurance is we've created a complicated animal just sure. in transacting what we do. We can't fix the industry, but we can certainly find efficiencies and find ways to operate together. And the last thing I'll say about this, the one company, picture, I have the opportunity to see it all the time. And I see in other brokers that are peers of ours the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there isn't a week that goes by that we are not aware of account managers, producers, branch leaders, colleagues from different offices working together on common projects, on common opportunities, and winning.
Yeah, happens and all the time.
It happens all the time. It's one of the unique elements, characteristics of the Insurica community is the fact that we have over 30 offices, yet we also can operate and do operate as one company. As we move forward, as we grow, as we transform, as we take off, that is one thing we will not lose.
Right, we'll continue.
Everything I can do right. To keep from losing that part of our culture, we will continue to be one company.
That's a great way to say it because you know, we're thinking and implementing strategies to reduce complexity, but still preserving the thing that makes Insurica special yesterday, right. today, and tomorrow.
Right.
Not a better way that was exemplified than last week during our sales exchange. Just to step back for a moment and watch almost 200 producers from 30 different offices in 11 different states really interact as if we were all in the same office somewhere,
yeah,
you know, in the same location. Impressive. It was so good. Well, there's so much more to talk about, and maybe we'll have another podcast episode to talk more about it. But that's been a really nice kind of high-level view of what this is all about and what it means for us as Insuricans. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
You know, I guess the final thing I'd say is there's the question that is always going to come up, you know, why should we do this? Why do we need to take a bold step and look so big? And I know there's several ways to answer that question. You know, one of them is I don't know that we know any other way. This is who we've mm-hmm. been, and this is who we choose to continue to be. But I would also say that I've been with the company over 35 years now, and just looking back, the things I remember are the things of the journey,
right?
The trip, getting right. to where we are, and knowing that we are making a difference for our colleagues, for our clients, and we have the opportunity to pay it forward. I could not be more excited about where we're headed.
Yeah, totally agree. The goals that we achieve are like rest stops along the way, but yep. really the fun is the walking up that mountain together. It's really fun. Thank you, Mike, for everything that you've given us today, some insight and just leadership you and the rest of the gang are providing. Great things ahead. As we said, you know, short-term goals are important, but it's really cool to think of those in the context of the horizon. So I just want everybody listening to this podcast to know that we each play a really important and vital part of TGS. So keep your eyes on Insurica One. There's more to come.